Today we continue the series called Social Media. And what we've discovered during our series so far is there is this core need and desire in our culture, and it's being satisfied in some ways by social media. The first week, this is our third week, the first week we looked at Instagram, this desire and need for joy. And then the second week, we took a look at Twitter and the longing to matter, and we found out how God meets us in that. And today is a day that I'm sure most of you were longing for this day to come. It's a day that we're going to talk about Pinterest. Now, two confessions I have to make. The first one is, I'm not on Pinterest. And the second thing I have to say is, I really don't even know how it works. Say, Lynn, well, then why are you talking about it? Well, you'll see. But there, what I did discover, though, as I looked at Pinterest this week, and I know people that use it and the ideas they get, is this little tagline says this about Pinterest. It's world's catalog of ideas. And I think about that, that ideas give us an imagination for something that doesn't exist or something we're looking for. Looking for something that's old and how we can make it new. We had a wedding in our family several weeks ago, and I know a lot of ideas and things stirred up imagination when they were looking on Pinterest, preparing for the wedding, to be creative, to look for some way for this beautiful occasion. Maybe you have looked up Pinterest for an idea to do something. Maybe you worked on a project and you took this Pinterest idea and you worked on a project, turned out so good. And maybe others did Pinterest and other times it did not turn out so well. Well, I found a website about Pinterest fails. I'd like to put a couple of those up this morning. So, put this up. So, isn't this beautiful? I mean, I wish I could make that, right? Look at that. Beautiful. And let's see what happens. Okay. So, it didn't quite turn out as well, right? All right. I mean, that looks a little scary. All right, next ones. Oh, isn't that beautiful? I mean, I would love to make a cake like that. Look at that. Is that amazing or what? Well, let's see what happened here. Okay. Well, in their mind, they might have nailed it, okay? But the picture doesn't say that. And now let's look at the next one. This is my favorite, okay? Isn't that beautiful? I mean, a baby in a pumpkin. It is absolute. Look at that smile. It's beautiful, right? Beautiful. Now, let's take a look. Okay. Now, see? I have to tell you, I know that looked good in Pinterest, okay? But I want to tell you right now, the reason I know that wasn't going to work, how many babies do you know like wet diapers, right? So there's this baby in this pumpkin that is dirty and wet. Of course it's not going to look like the other one. But you have these ideas in Pinterest of how you want something to go, and then it doesn't quite turn out that way. Well, you know, there's moments in our lives where these ideas come to life, and they are beautiful, and we get so excited about them. And other times, they don't turn out quite the way that you had planned. Have you ever experienced that? You know, events in our families, we figure if we do things just right and raise our kids a certain way, they will make these kind of decisions. This will happen. If we invest our money a certain way, this will happen. If we just take care of our body a certain way and do certain things, the results will be amazing. But you and I have experienced moments in our lives where this has not worked out. And we asked, what now? You see, imagination can be an amazing blessing. And we can imagine so many great things. But imaginations can also be a curse. Blessings give us vision and direction to life, ability to create, and we were born to create, and to have this vision for the future. But we also can be reminded of those times of what could have been, what should have been. Those peaks and valleys We want things to go a certain way. But life is made up of peaks and valleys. And here's what life looks like. I mean, life has this rhythm. And I think one of the ways to illustrate that is the human heart. This is the way the human heart goes. Up and down, across. I mean, we like these events, right? These are the peaks. Oh man, we love to talk about the peaks in our lives. And when we think about love and other things, I mean, love can be a powerful thing. But there's times when we choose to love, it can be a peak experience. But also when we choose to love, there is a chance of rejection. We risk rejection. Trust is a beautiful thing, and we can have peaks in that, and trust in relationship. But by trusting, we risk betrayal. Dreams are so powerful. We love dreams when they come to fruition, and we have these peak moments. And we say, wow, these are wonderful. These are powerful. And when they materialize, it's an awesome thing. But when we dream, we also risk failure. And when we hope, we hope for good things and we can experience, and sometimes that hope has us in the peaks. But sometimes that hope risks that we will be let down. See, we have these peaks and valleys in our own lives, like the rhythms of our own heart. But what makes a peak? See, what makes a peak is that there's a valley. And what makes a valley is that there's a peak. We can experience failure and betrayal, and things let us down. We can love somebody and choose to do that, and then it becomes very painful. And what tends to happen is when we do that, we put walls up. Walls up because we say, I'm not going through another valley. I just can't handle it anymore. And so we put walls up to try to avoid the valleys. But the truth is, we can't have one without the other. I saw this quote, believe it or not, on Facebook. It said this, Your vision must be permanently hinged on the door of risk. Only then can opportunities open for you. Now, Jesus talks about life, right? I mean, throughout the whole New Testament, we get this idea about Jesus talking about life, what life is. And there's this one scripture, John 10:10. It's one of my favorites. It's the one that I go to probably maybe too much when it comes to sermons. But I love this when Jesus says this about life. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, there's a lot of room for interpretation in that passage. Your idea of what life might be may be different than what I want my life to be and what it looks like to live life in the full. And so there's a lot of room for interpretation. But I want to put this in the context of a first century Jewish audience. And these words are found right smack in the middle of a parable about the good shepherd. It's about shepherd and sheep. And this is a cultural metaphor that the people, the first century Jewish audience, would understand clearly. About tending to their flocks. But I doubt today many of you are going to go home and you're going to tend to your flocks, tend to your sheep. Maybe some will. But he's talking about living life to the full. But Jesus is not only using a cultural metaphor, he's using a biblical metaphor to describe what this looks like. And he uses that biblical metaphor in the Hebrew scripture. When he says, before Jesus came and died and rose again, in the Old Testament we have these passages that are so embedded in the culture of the first century people. And so Jesus picks up that with some of these metaphors. And he pulls out something in the Hebrew scripture that was so embedded in their culture and their understanding, because they had the Old Testament. It was part of what they did. They read the Old Testament. And we find in one of these passages, in Psalm 23, where Jesus is saying and declaring that I am the good shepherd, declaring that this shepherd that David wrote about, and Jesus says, I am now the good shepherd. I am going to show you how to live life to the fullest. And it plays out, I believe, in Psalm 23. So I would like us to look at that this morning, a couple of verses in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, let's listen to what it has to say about peace and restoration and direction in life and how we live life to the full. It says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We have this imagery of this peace. Don't you want peace? Isn't it what you desire in your life, to have peace in this crazy world? You see, when I read Psalm 23 in those first couple verses, what it kind of gets me and my heart stirring to is this, is I want to go to a creek, and I want to put that he talks about. The state of the soul, being at peace, lacking nothing, restoring our souls. How many of you want your souls restored because they've been depleted, they've been dry? To experience this restoration, this new birth, just to say that, oh, I can breathe again. And then the shepherd leads us on right paths. Isn't it life more beautiful when we kind of are on the right paths? When we're going the right way? We find beauty and restoration of the soul when that happens. These beautiful moments in life, these peak moments, where I would call them these peaky moments. And you know what they are. I mean, you take pictures all the time, right, of these peaky moments. Of your child doing something very cute, right? What do you do if something's happening? You go and get a camera, and you say, wow, I want to get this picture because this is a peaky moment for you. And then what else do you do? It's a peaky moment for you, but you want to share with everyone else, so we post it. Post it on Facebook, Instagram, and all those other places, because we want to show people that the sun is shining bright. We want to show people that these pictures that we take, and here's the thing, if the grass isn't green enough with the picture we take, we just put a filter on it. And we say, look at our life, we play it out in our lives and say, wow, look what we have. You see, I, like you, love those peaky moments. Can I just let you in on one of my peaky moments this morning? It was the wedding of my daughter. And this was my peaky moment. And it happened as she was, we were getting ready to go to the service. And she was being married in a barn. Yeah, I know. I don't ever understand that idea of being married in a barn. But okay. She was married in a barn. And so all the people were gathering. And everyone was coming. Family and friends were going into this barn for the ceremony. And I was getting a little nervous because I was going to walk her down and turn around and marry her. Okay, so it's a little... I was kind of a little stressed out. And we were going down through there, and this peaky moment was this. All at once, we had this little event where I went down to where she was staying, and I went and picked her up, and then we got on a horse-drawn carriage. And we got on this carriage, and now everything was going on. The wedding was almost ready to take place, and we got on this carriage, and Liz and I took this nice ride through the countryside, through the horse farm and out around for like 8 to 10 minutes. I want to tell you something, people. That was a peaky moment for me.
her and I, right before, debating whether I was going to actually let her go, right before, there was peace and tranquility like I can't even explain. So to me, that was a peaky moment. Can I ask you another question? Maybe it's a difficult question. What about the valleys? What about those moments, those valleys, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, when things haven't gone well with the family, some stress, when broken relationships happen? Those moments, Jesus still says, I give you life and life to the full. But you know what you say? You're like, really? Is this life and life to the full? Really, Jesus? Is this really all you got? Or we might say this, Jesus, where are you? Where are you, Jesus? Do your promises only work for some people some of the time? See, maybe that's you this moment, today. Maybe this past week. Maybe several weeks ago. You see, we do okay with connecting peace and these circumstantial peaks, these moments in life. We understand that, and we look for that peace. But what about the valleys? What about the valleys in life? And the Bible gives us a bigger understanding of this circumstantial peace. It's a picture of life in the full. And now I want to read Psalm 23 again. First four verses this time. Now listen carefully. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But even though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 4 takes a turn. It says, fear no evil. For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David writes this passage about all these good things. What his shepherd king has done for him, it's powerful. And in this text, it assumes that we will experience valleys. Well, yes, we'll have peaks. We'll have peaks, but we also have valleys. Down here. Experiencing that. This is a truth. That when we walk through the deepest valleys, we don't have to live in fear. When we say we live life and life to the fullest, that Jesus says to each one of us, it does not ignore the valleys. It doesn't even exclude the valleys. It's found in all of it. Now, I know some of you have been in the deep valleys, and some of you have these peak moments in life. And I think we have problems with each. You see, when we have these peak moments, some of us feel guilty that we have these peak moments. And we say, well, I don't know how to do with this. Well, I would say, give praise. Count it as a blessing that you have this peak. But some of you are somewhere in between, or maybe you're in a valley. There's still beauty in that. There's still beauty to be seen, even though we don't see it so much at the time. Because these moments of truth, these words that God gives us, they are for all of these experiences, not just the peaks. See, this life of Jesus is a good illustration for all of us. We can pull many things out of Jesus' life, But I want to look at his darkest day in human history. When creation crucified the Creator. The day that we call Good Friday that we just been through not too long ago. See, we call it Good Friday. See, it's good in light of the resurrection. It was a peak moment. But it was also a valley. But see, it's hard sometimes to look at the valleys when we're in it. But when we pass the valleys, we can look at that and see how God is working to life and life in the full in those. So let's look at Jesus at that moment. He was exposed and mistreated. He was hurt by his own creation. People betrayed him and crucified him. He was with known criminals. And they shamed him. Putting on a cross was not only for death, but it was to strip you all of your dignity, to shame you. And Jesus was in that deep, deep valley. And I might say that valley was probably deeper than anything you've ever experienced. But I am challenged by this one passage in Luke 23 that describes this moment where we have two criminals that are on the cross with Jesus. One yells out, "Save yourself! If you're really this, save yourself!" And the other criminal, no name in Scripture, in a moment expresses faith in Jesus. He just asks one simple thing. "Jesus, in your kingdom, would you please remember me?" Now, Jesus hanging there on the cross could have been, should have been, all self-absorbed with his own ailments and the things that are going on in his own life. But in that moment, in Jesus' deepest valley, he sees beauty. And he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now, when I have a bad day, the car breaks down, things happen, the stress of life, it can cause me to be distracted. I get all focused on the junk of life. I become, I might admit, more focused on myself than anyone else. And I'm not a very good listener at home when I'm dealing with my junk and my wife and my children come in and things happen. And I become all focused about me. But Jesus, at the peak of his suffering, peak of his disgrace, hears someone and grabs a hold of it and calls out to them. Jesus had every reason to wallow in how bad it was. He had every reason, if there was Facebook, to post about, "This is one of those days." Hopeless. He had every reason to not trust mankind, because look what mankind did. He had more reasons than anyone to be bitter. He had more reason to be bitter to the criminals on his left than to his right. But not judging them, he said, "Father, forgive them. I am dying so they can be with me in paradise." He had all the reasons in the world to look at his circumstances, reasons to be bitter. He was not looking for more reasons to be bitter. He was embracing his valley and sharing with those around him. In the midst of Jesus' darkest valley, he was on a profound mission for beauty. Beauty in the ashes. People to adopt, people to forgive. And I think if we could sum up that whole thing in one point, it would be this. What you are looking for, you will find. It plays out in Scripture and plays out in our lives. You're looking for proof that people can't be trusted? You will find. You're looking for proof that the world is a hopeless place? You will wake up to a hopeless world. You're looking for reasons to be bitter? Bitterness will grow all around you and in you. But if you're looking for people worth loving, you will find them. If you hunt for beauty in the midst of your brokenness, in the deepest of valleys, maybe not at that moment in time, but you will get a glimpse of that beauty. Proof that God is so good. He's a good, good Father. So this morning, you will find what you are looking for. If you're looking for the bitterness, if you're looking for hopelessness, you will find it. But if you're looking for life and life in the full that Jesus promises, you will find that also in the peaks and also in the valleys. Because when Jesus said those words, "I have come to give you life and life to the full," he wasn't just talking about the peaky moments of life, but he was talking about the rhythms of our lives and what he has created us for. So what you are looking for, you will find. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. Lord, we thank you for your promises. Lord, we thank you for the psalmist who wrote so many good psalms that we can all relate to, because the psalms kind of beat with our own heartbeat. We understand the depth of these psalms. And Lord, we admit to you today that we do want to find peace and direction. We want those still waters to flow through us. And Lord, we wish that we could stop at verse 3 in Psalm 23, that life would be like that. But Lord, in your great plan and your great grace and mercy, you gave us verse 4. Because that's part of life also. And so I pray for those here today that are going through those dark valleys. Lord, I pray that we as a church and small groups and others can be an encouragement to them. That we can walk alongside of people in those dark valleys. Not judging them, but walking alongside of them. And help them to see some beauty in the midst of brokenness. Lord, we are so thankful for your promises that you give us this amazing life and that we can live that life to the fullest in the peaks and in the valleys. Thank you, Jesus.